Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. This week we learned the sobering but unsurprising news that Thanksgiving gatherings in our state and elsewhere have spurred a post-holiday surge in COVID cases. Now, just to make matters a little more daunting, health experts are warning about the spread of Omicron, the latest mutation of the coronavirus. David Montefiore and Dr. Cameron Wolf are two experts from Duke University who recently shared what they know about the new variant and how this should influence our behavior over the upcoming holidays. Dr. Wolf, an infectious disease specialist, says we're fortunate that South Africa not only has a robust reporting system, but that they have been very willing to share their data with the rest of the world.
One of the things that we've seen there already is the start of an uptick in hospitalizations. And yet, over the next week or two, what we'll be able to carve into that a little more is that uptick simply because of a larger number of people falling sick? Or particularly, how many people within those severe cases, or how many cases in general, were in vaccinated individuals? How many cases were in previously infected individuals? And that gives you a real clinical sense then of how well natural and vaccine immunity is holding up in the real world. Some preliminary modeling data would say that natural immunity here is actually not holding up as well as has been seen in previous variants. And so, you know, having been, if you were infected with a wild type virus, for example, at the very beginning of 2020, there was actually data to support the fact that that immunity was quite protective against alpha, delta, and gamma variants. However, initial data from South Africa would suggest that that is not holding up as effectively here. Whether that translates into protective vaccine immunity also, I think, will get a really good clinical sense over the next week or two. And it's helpful from South Africa's point of view for us, even domestically in the US, because they have predominantly used Pfizer and J&J vaccines, which are commonly used here in the U.S., and I think will translate really effectively as we predict what this does here.
David Montefiore, director of the Laboratory for AIDS Vaccine Research and Development, says while some may be tempted to see how this new variant impacts patient treatment, it would really be a big mistake to delay getting your booster shot.
We are still dealing with primarily the Delta variant in the world, and especially here in the United States. And people who elderly people and people who are immune suppressed because they're on immunosuppressive drugs or have some other underlying disorder really need to get boosted because their immune system needs that extra boost to give them really good immunity. And so, you know, that's the way I would look at it right now. We're dealing with Delta, and that boost is going to be really important for those people to protect them from the current predominant variant that's circulating. And it is also likely to strengthen the immune response to the Omicron variant. We do know that the boost does strengthen the immune response against all of the variants other than Omicron, of course, which hasn't been tested, but all of the previous variants. It does strengthen the immune response to all of those variants compared to what was seen after the initial vaccination series.
The rise in cases recorded since Thanksgiving is significant, and according to Dr. Wolf, a reminder that we can't act as though the pandemic is over.
Yeah, I mean, as David said earlier, we are in a Delta wave still in the United States, and 100% at least of the cases we've sequenced here at Duke have all been Delta so far. So it's not a new variant causing that peak. I think when you overlap what's happening in December, what have we seen? We've had the same as last year. We had a congregate activity, which was Thanksgiving. We've had the widest and most frequently used travel weekend go back to largely pre-pandemic travel amounts. And I think it's getting colder. And I think we have to be realistic that when that happens, what do? We as a community hunker down and spend more time inside in close-knit areas where we know COVID transmits readily. So I suspect that is nothing yet to do with variant activity and everything to do with the fact that, frankly, maybe we've just eased our guard off a little bit. And it's also occurring at a time when we learned from last year that COVID spreads really easily. So it does, you know, it does pose a warning. And I think let's be realistic about what's coming up in the next few weeks. We have Christmas parties that many workplaces are now starting to think about again. And we have Christmas and New Year holidays where, again, I suspect most folks will have had their travel plans set into stone and will be reconsidering what they're doing. And we need to think about that within the context of COVID in general, not just Omicron. So what helps in that situation? Yes, boosting and vaccination helps, but it's also masking, distancing, hand washing, air quality, all of those things that we've learned about. That's what's driving this peak so far. Whether Omicron adds to that, we will see.
David Montefiore says it's unclear if Omicron will be the next wave of this pandemic, but if you're gathering over the holidays, don't allow yourself to become complacent.
You know, be sure to wear your mask. Do social distancing as much as possible. Avoid large gatherings and, you know, hopefully prevent this variant from taking off and really causing a problem. We should anticipate that this variant might be able to outcompete Delta. Again, we don't know that, but I think we should be cautious and be thinking about that possibility and behaving in a way that would mitigate the spread of that variant and your risk of being exposed to it.
Looking ahead to the new year, Dr. Wolf says the U.S. must get better in its testing.
First of all, you need tests to be available, and I don't think I'm saying something that folks wouldn't have heard before if I say that testing in the United States has been problematic compared to, for example, a lot of our European colleagues. It is hard and it is expensive to have tests readily available for folks. And so I was actually pleased to see the administration yesterday in their plan actually come out and really try and drive home more testing availability and sort of at-home testing, albeit in the plan for folks who are insured, which leaves a carve-out. But then you can think also then about what kind of testing are we talking about? So there's both rapid tests, which are the at-home ones that were discussed. They won't tell you whether you've got Omicron, but they'll tell you whether you're positive or not for COVID in general. That's helpful because that then allows you to make individualized decisions about how you keep yourself away from other folks, how you get your medical care, how you stop transmission cycles with your behavior. And so, you know, encouraging people to get testing in the lead up to travel or congregational activities around Christmas, I think, is going to be really helpful for us. Understanding Omicron is different. You know, that requires molecular level sequencing, or by good fortune, some labs actually have a particular machine capability that can identify Omicron based on a particular molecular dropout called an S dropout. And so there are some labs who can give you preliminary information already to say, look, hey, we think this is behaving on our testing platform like an Omicron variant. And so when the US, for example, reports the number of states at the moment that have had positive cases, there's a bevy more who've already seen that sort of preliminary data to say, look, actually, we're seeing dropouts here on our testing primers that hint that this is Omicron, but we need more sequencing to figure it out. Sequencing takes time. I mean, in any lab's hands, that's a good number of days to sort of get cohorts of sequencing and batch them and understand what it looks like. Lots to work on.
Another item that needs work, the nation's vaccination rate. Again, here's David Montefiore.
Well, I think we definitely need to keep trying to get more and more people vaccinated. The way the pandemic has been going in the United States, we have not reached that magic number of herd immunity that's reversing things the way that we'd like to see this pandemic reversed and hopefully eventually shut it down. The key is going to be for more people to get vaccinated.
The bottom line, we're in a better place than we were this time last year when far fewer people were protected by vaccines. But we are all going to need to take personal responsibility to prevent COVID from reemerging with a vengeance in January.
You know, what we're talking about here is to say, look, plan in a way that acknowledges what the event is and acknowledges what your risk is. So if you're planning an event, can you make attempts to keep the numbers relatively small? Can you make attempts to have folks masked where they will? If they can't, are there options for you to get tested before you travel or join? So for example, you know, we have a vaccine mandate, for example, on the indoor setting of Cameron Stadium, where if you can't produce your documentation, then we're going to require you to have a test before you turn up. I mean, I think those sorts of individualized situational mitigation efforts are going to be even more important. And it's hard because, you know, we sort of have had 2 years of thinking about, you know, top-down government rules or pandemic restrictions that sort of we don't think about and apply to everyone. Well, I think we're moving into a situation where it's going to need to become much more individualized. So I am planning to travel for Christmas, for example, but I plan to travel with my N95 masks and my family masks. I plan to travel knowing that we are all vaccinated. And I plan to travel recognizing that if I have any symptoms in the days beforehand, and probably anyway, I will get a test because I'm going to visit in-laws who are elderly and may not need me to be irresponsible and turn up with COVID. So it has to be an individualized approach. It has to be community-centric, and it has to be dependent on what your activities are going to be, frankly. But let's not stick our head in the sand and think that this is going to go away.
Remember, North Carolinians can find a local vaccine and booster provider at myspot.nc.gov. That's myspot.nc.gov. Coming up next, an advocate for low-income North Carolinians tells us how and why the pandemic has had such an especially devastating impact on vulnerable communities. Stay with us.